Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. That's a start. Let's worship. Let's praise Him. Jesus, we praise You, God. We love You, Lord, because You're God. You're the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Counselor, the Mighty God. We worship You, God, for who You are. We praise Your name. Hallelujah. We want to welcome everyone to Calvary Gospel Church on Sunday morning. We're glad to be in the house of God. We need to remember a number of people in prayer. How many of you know anyone who's struggling with coronavirus? Well, now you all know someone because Brother Blake George has tested positive. So please keep him in prayer. We want to pray for Pastor Roy and Pastor Phil. They're both not feeling well. There's no indication that it's coronavirus, but they're both sick at home. So keep them in mind. But we are going to continue to worship the Lord here this morning. We're going to continue to praise Him. If you're a guest of ours, we want you to know that we care about you, that we care about your relationship with God, and that's why we come together and we invite you and ask you to be our guest. Amen. Hopefully, if you're a guest of ours in the house, you received a connection card, and that just asks a few questions so that we can let you know how much we appreciate your visit here, your time here, and we want you to feel comfortable to come back again. If you're a guest of ours online, you can connect online, and the information is posted there, and it will show up on your screen. And you can connect in person at the kiosk in the vestibule if you're here. So please take a moment, if you're a guest, and let yourself be known. Next Sunday is Holy Ghost Sunday with Sister Vicki Vernon. Again, if you need to be renewed, refreshed, if you need to be filled for the very first time with God's Holy Spirit, this is an excellent opportunity. You don't have to wait till then, but if you still haven't reached that place on Sunday morning, be here, and I promise you will have an opportunity to receive God's very best gift for you. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. If you're here today in person, you can give. One of several ways, but first of all, you can text to give, 608-719-3883, text the keyword tithes, offering, or missions, and then you can also drop your offering in the receptacle, the box, in by the usher's stand, the greeter's stand. You can visit online. You can go to cgcmadison.org/giving, and of course, you can always send in the mail, 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. I promise if you give to the house of God, if you give to the work of God, He will bless you if you give with the right heart. Now, I promise that only because God promises that in His Word. Amen? I don't have that authority, but He has spoken it, He has said it, and He will do what He says. Praise God. Let's stand and pray together, and we'll begin to worship the Lord after that. Hopefully you're already worshiping Him in your heart. Let's pray for these that we know. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our state. Let's pray for the family of God. All of this, let's pray for this service. In Jesus' name, Lord, we know, God, that You have a plan. Lord, we know Your ways are above our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. So we submit to You now, O God, our wills and our hearts and our minds, and ask You, God, to have Your way, O God, in this place and online and with everyone who becomes a part of this service in any way, that the power and the presence of the mighty God will be manifest, O God, for our sakes and for Your name's sake, we pray. We pray for healing for our brother Blake George and all that have been afflicted with this virus, oh God, especially those of the house of faith. I pray, Lord God, let our hearts and minds be filled with faith and anointing for those that have need of prayer, oh God, so that we can be the light, so that we can be the power, we can be the blessing that people need in this hour. In Jesus' name I pray, oh God, for our nation, our state, our community, our county, Lord. There are broken, hurting people, lonely people, lost souls, oh God. Help us to be a light and a blessing to those that we come in contact with. Open doors of ministry and anoint your people, oh God, so that we may be healing, so that we may be truth, so that we may be light as a city set upon a hill, so that your name can be glorified in all of this. Release your word and your presence in this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's worship the Lord.
Jesus. only lasting thing is you. You are forever, you are forever the one that I run to. You are my treasure, you are my treasure.
The only lasting thing is you. You are forever, you are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure, you are my treasure. Others may fail, but you remain. You are my treasure, you are my treasure. Heaven and earth will pass away. You are forever, you are forever.
You are
Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? The Almighty God, present here because he loves us, manifesting his Spirit in our presence for his name's sake and for our blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ought to be in awe of the mighty God. To consider what his hands have made, what he has done just by speaking his word. And yet he deigns to come into this place with his presence. Now I know he's everywhere all the time, but he chooses to make his presence felt and his name known among us because he loves us. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God here. Praise God. Let's worship him a little longer. Invite his presence into your heart and your mind. He wants to speak to us, each of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. Let's pray again in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, help me, God, to minister according to your will to the needs that are present here and for everyone who hears this. I pray for the Spirit of God to take this opportunity, Lord, to touch our hearts and minds to accomplish your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes the presence of God is just overwhelming. God is so good. From time to time, my wife and I, when we have the opportunity, back when the world was young and life was normal, we would on occasion take the opportunity to go to the Overture Center and listen to and watch concerts, especially concerts of the symphony, of classical music. I'm not a musician by any stretch of the imagination, but I do. Somewhere along the line, I gained an appreciation for orchestral music, and I do love it and I appreciate it. And it's one thing to listen to it on the radio, listen to it on the Alexa, which is so cool because you can just tell it what you want and then you sit down. I have a list of songs on my computers, every one of them that I can just play while I'm doing whatever I'm doing. But there's something different about going to the Overture there's a certain atmosphere, a certain thing that happens there when you walk into the building and you see all these people get all dressed up and some more than others and the lights in the vestibule. I know a lot of you have been there and I know go to the will call window and get your tickets and you feel like I'm pretty important. They have a ticket waiting for me. But then you walk over and you take your coat to this little room around the corner and you check your coat. You go to the coat check. Now there's not a, we have a coat room here and it's nice to be able to have a place to put your coat so that you don't have to, there's something about checking your coat, you know, and then I'm important. Somebody's watching my coat for me. I'm in a special place. Some places, they have that coat check because they know that you're going to be there for a while. They know that they want you to feel at home. They want you to feel, so you take off your coat and you check your coat. I will admit, when I go to the overture, I don't wear my Carhartt jacket. I'm not saying you shouldn't, and some people, I'm sure they do, but I wear one of my dressier coats because it seems to be fitting. But I still check my coat. And I want to talk this morning about check your coat. See, our coat can project an identity. And I wear Carhartt-type jackets plenty. I've worn holes through many a sleeve. And when I was a teenager, Levi jackets were in vogue. And I wore that with a hoodie before hoodies were cool. And wore that everywhere because that's the image I wanted to project. See, our coat can project our identity. It can let people know who we are and where we're coming from. And when I go some places, I want to wear a dress coat because I want to show that this is important and this is special. And if I'm going to work in a construction site, or if I'm going to work out in the yard, I wear a different kind of coat because it serves a different purpose. But our coat can project who we are and what we are, and that's kind of what happened for Joseph. But a coat can also become a cover identity. You know, it's something we put on to project an image, but it's not really who we are. I'm not really that guy that I want to feel like when I go to the overture. There's some high rollers there that I can... They live in a different stratosphere than what I do. They move in a different world that I can't relate to. But it still feels nice to put on that coat and walk up to the coat check. Praise God. Check your coat. It can be who we are, or it can be a cover identity. If I say trench coat, what do you think of? Say that again. I can't. A detective or a spy. I'm wearing a trench coat. I have a trench coat. And I wear a hat with it. And that's what I hear a lot of times is, you know, if they call me the detective. Well, I'm not a detective, but that's the image that it projects. And, of course, this time of year, we see a lot of guys moving around and some women in these clothes that... They have a little bit of brown and a little bit of green and a little bit of, what do they call that again? Yeah, camouflage. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. It used to be that was for the military and for hunters. But now everybody wears it. Just shows, and if somebody wants to be militant, you know, they wear an armband of camouflage or a something on their head, you know, It's a covering. They're letting people know where they stand. It used to be when I hunted more, I'd come out of the woods after bow hunting and I would have, of course, camo on my face and I'd be wearing camo clothes and camo boots, and I'd walk into the store because I was really hungry after sitting in the woods for hours, and people would just kind of look at you like you were an alien or something. But now it's not that way anymore because there's people in camouflage everywhere you look. It's kind of lost its meaning. You know, when Peter, after Jesus, I think someone just preached about this recently. It may have been at our planning session, but after Jesus rose from the dead, there was a period of time when the apostles... The 12 didn't have much contact, and maybe they got a little impatient, and Peter said, I'm ready to go back to fishing. And he went out in the boat, and there were four or five other guys that were with him, and they were out there fishing, and they saw a man on the shore, and he called to them and said, "Have you caught any fish?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Well, try the other side of the boat." And they did, and the nets filled up, and they knew immediately that it was Jesus. And what does the Bible say that Peter did? It says he did jump in the water, but first he took off his coat, his cloak. Now, the King James Version says naked. I don't think he was completely naked, but as far as the situation was concerned, he was unclothed. He took off his coat. He took off this his cloak likely was the thing that he wore when he went fishing. It was his fish. I have a fishing shirt that I wear. I have a different hat that I wear for fishing the last hat I had for fishing blew into the water and I never saw it again, but this one has a string on it so I can keep it on my head. But I have certain clothes that I wear for fishing because, well, some of those fish really stink, you know. It's a sweet aroma to a fisherman to smell a northern or a musky, but it's not such a nice smell when you bring it in the house. So check your coat. Peter laid aside his fisher's coat and jumped in the water. He said, all right, enough of this fishing. I'm going to get to Jesus. Matthew 5:40 says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Again, now this is talking about two layers of clothing, but there's more to this in the cultural context than just giving somebody something to keep them warm. In that day and that age, the cloak, the coat that a person wore identified his station. Much the same as my wool coat pretends to be suitable for the overture. In that day and that age, certain cloaks, certain coats identified a person, their station in life. Even from the poorest to the blind man to the wealthiest. They dressed accordingly, and you knew who they were and where they came from according to their outer covering, their coat, their cloak. And by giving someone your coat, your cloak, you were giving them part of your identity. You were giving them part of yourself, basically. See, if we want to be real in ministry, if we want to fulfill God's will as children of the King, we've got to be willing to give a little bit of ourselves to others. Check your coat. Are you who you're pretending to be? Are you willing to give something of yourself? Joseph's coat of many colors, modern translations say many fabrics, or it depends on what you read, which translation you read, but it wasn't just that it was many colors, it was that it was intricate, that it was different fabrics, that it was obviously it was of great value. And it identified Joseph as the favorite, the chosen one of the family. And depending on how you read the story, and depending probably on who's preaching the message, Joseph was a superstar, or he was kind of a jerk. Because it appears that Joseph took upon himself this chosen attitude of the chosen one and kind of rubbed it in the face of his brothers. That's the way it looks to me anyway. And if you notice, it was the thing that the Bible makes clear, that when they took him and threw him into the pit, that's the thing that they stripped from him. That was the thing that was the symbol, that was the emblem of everything that Joseph stood for and that was under their skin. And they took that from him, and when they decided to turn him over to the slave traders, They took that coat and smeared it with blood because they knew that when Jacob saw it, they would identify it with Joseph immediately. So it did several things that it gave credence to the lie they told, but I think in psychologically for them it was like, just there we got back at him. We even the score here. It was the thing by which his father identified him as a victim. Interesting. Sometimes the very thing that we want to identify us as the chosen one is the same thing that we use to identify ourselves as victims. Check your coat. Check your coat. What are you wearing? Joseph was sold into slavery. He put on a different coat in Potiphar's household. No longer did he have the coat of many colors. Now he was a servant in someone else's home. He had a different garment. Genesis 39:11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. Joseph was the manager, the steward of the household. He was the number one guy next to the household owner. And she, except for one, the wife of Potiphar, she caught him by his garment. Now, it doesn't say it's a coat, but it's obviously his outer garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought an Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice, and it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up her garment by her until his Lord came home." It was proof. He left his coat. Joseph was here. What are we leaving behind? What is the identity? What are we leaving with people? She grabbed his outer garment. This was the thing that she saw of him. Evidently, he was circumspect. He was careful. He took care of himself. And this is all that she could get her hands on, was his outer garment. Joseph used it to protect himself. He lost it. He left it behind, but he escaped with his soul. But he also went to prison without a coat. His identity, once again, was stripped from him. Outside of that prison, I know he rose to a position of authority within the prison, but outside of the prison, he was nobody. Probably didn't even have a coat to wear. He was so much so that when, after he interpreted the dreams, the fellow prisoner who was brought back to the Pharaoh's household forgot all about him. Nobody. Genesis 41:14 says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh." Now, it doesn't say what he put on, but I can't imagine that the clothes that he put on were very fashionable. I don't think that they were probably very auspicious, probably whatever he could get there in the prison, the best he could do. Certainly, Pharaoh's servants wouldn't dress him in anything hinting at royalty. I would think that we could call it the garment of humility. 1 Peter 5 says, verse 5, "In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Check your coat. And God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourselves under his mighty hand by casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. I really do believe that, I don't believe Joseph was punished, but I believe that God used these circumstances to change his frame of mind, to change his perception of who he was and what God's plan for him was. It was obvious from the start that God had a plan for him. But Joseph, like Moses, wanted to go from start to finish without traveling the path in between. But God has a way of leading us down a road that we did not choose in order to help us become what he wants us to be. Check your coat. What are you wearing? Joseph, there comes a time when we have to be stripped of our facade. When the thing that we identify ourselves, the thing that we have created for our own identity, we have to lay it down and lay it aside. Our own ideas, our own identity even. I'm not saying you become a robot or a zombie. What I am saying is that sometimes we need to see ourselves from God's perspective. We must find out who we are in the eyes of God. Less important than who the people of the world think we are, or even who the members of our family think we are. We've got to know who God wants us to be. Joseph was stripped of all his identity, and he came before the Pharaoh clothed in humility. That's when God was able to raise him up, just like Peter says, to the place that he had planned for him all along. Praise God. Praise God. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for every one of us. Check your coat. What are you wearing? What's your identity? Who are you trying to be? What does God want you to be? David, young man, came before Saul. He said, "I'll fight the giant." And Saul said, "Here, put on this armor." David put it on, and you know, we've heard the story told many different ways, and we don't know if David was tall or short or wide or narrow. Kind of think he was probably some kind of athlete in order to do the things that he did. But whatever it is, he said, "This armor is not right for me. This doesn't suit me." Now, whether that means it didn't fit him appropriately, or he meant, "I don't know what to do with all this stuff on. I've never fought with this before," but somehow it was not suitable for who he was. And he didn't feel like he needed it to do what God called him to do. We cannot allow others to clothe us according to their plan for our lives, but we've got to find out what God wants to do in our lives. And put on the Bible says in Ephesians that we need to put on the whole armor of God. David said, "I can't wear this armor. I have to meet the giants in my life with the armor that God gives me." Praise God. I guess I won't go there. Never mind. Genesis 41:15. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it.'" How do we know that Joseph was wearing the coat of humility? Because he said, "It's not in me," verse 16. "It's not because of who I am. It's not because I was the chosen one of my father. It's not because I had this special coat. It's not because I ruled in Potiphar's household. It's not because I was raised up to a place of authority in the prison. It's because I serve a living God. It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Praise God. It's so important that when we come together, that we have the presence of God in our services. It's so important that when we order our lives, we order it according to the Word of God. When Joseph finally came into God's will, into the place that was appointed for him, he did put on the vestures of royalty. But it wasn't until he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. That was when God could really use Joseph in the way that he desired to all along. Check your coat, Joseph. Check your coat, child of God. Joseph put on a coat of many colors, but in doing so, he wore a robe of entitlement, if I can say it in those terms. I'm Father's favorite. I'm the chosen one. I'm going to acquire the birthright. I'm going to be the ruler over all of you. We can wear the identity that we're given by others, our family. I'm listening to a book about education of children, and it breaks it down by economic status. Across every other demographic, it shows how different school systems provide opportunities for some children and not for others. And it has to do with the economic status of that community. And it talks about the way that the children in these different economic circumstances are raised in their home. And that for the middle class children, there's a cultivation that takes place between the parents and the children, where the parents are organizing their lives and giving them all these opportunities and involving them in all these programs, and they're cultivating their growth and cultivating their cultural awareness, and they have certain advantages with the institutions in our society because they learn at an early age how to deal with people and adults in an institutional level. And the study says that the working class and poor families, that they, in general, their approach to child rearing is different. It's more of a natural growth kind of thing. There's not as much organization, and there's not as much involvement of the parents in the everyday life, and the kids get together and they play games in the street or in the park, and they organize their own time, and when necessary, when they show an interest in an activity, then the parents are almost forced to go out of their way to help that child become involved in Little League or whatever it is, rather than making those choices for them. And these children grow up with an entirely different idea of who they are as a person within the culture. And the upper and the middle class and upper middle class children, the study says, have a sense of entitlement. Surprised? Like, this organization that I'm a part of ought to be serving me better. That's the frame of mind they have. That's the coat they wear. I'm a person of substance. You should meet my needs. Whereas the working class and poor families, they're less likely to make demands of institutions. Less likely to expect that kind of treatment. And less likely to learn the skills of how to deal with organizational leadership. They have a different coat. It's a blue-collar coat. wasn't going to say this. I thought about this all along. But but an example from my own life. My father was a union electrician, and he went to work every day in work jeans. You know, the kind with all the pockets in them, but they were jeans because he always had all these tools that he had to carry around. And he wore a tool belt, and he wore one of those blue work shirts. Not everybody wears them anymore, but it was kind of where the blue collar came from. It was their uniform. He was a blue collar guy. And the only time he wore a suit back then, it was common for people who went to church. Everyone who went to church, or a lot of people who went to church anyway, to wear a suit. He wore a suit to church. He wore a suit to weddings, funerals. But that wasn't his everyday wear. That was his vestments, his coat was a working man's coat, was a blue-collar coat. Our world, our culture will clothe you in a garment that may not be God's will in your life. Check your coat. We can let life wear us down. We can let life bear us down. We can let life put us down. We can feel like grasshoppers in our own eyes before the enemies of the world. But that's not God's will for us. Don't wear that coat. Don't let the world put that coat on you. We can wear the beggar's coat like they did in New Testament times, when really, we're king's kids. I said, we're king's kids. We're children of the king. Praise God. When the prodigal son returned from his misspent life in the world, his father did a number of things, but one of the things he made sure was to put a new cloak on him, a new coat. You're going to be clothed like the son of the household. You're my son. Yeah, come on home, but we're going to give you a place of attention and authority. We're going to give you a place where you feel at home here. Praise God. That's what God wants to do for any one of us, for every one of us. He wants to put upon us the coat of authority, the cloak of respect, because we're children of the king. Samuel was given by his mother to the house of God, and he served there with the priest. But in 1 Samuel 2:19, the Bible says his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Samuel's mother knew who Samuel was. He was a gift from God. He was a special child. But nonetheless, he was her special child. And she wanted him to know, you're still my son. You're special to me. You mean something. You're important to me, and I will never forget that you're a gift from God. God wants us to know that we are his children. Isaiah 61:3 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Praise God. Let's stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Put on the garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness. Check your coat. Check your coat. Praise God. We're children of the King. The living God is our everlasting Father. Jesus Christ has washed us from all ungodliness and uncleanness, all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us. We're children of the King. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, not because of who I am. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, not because of who you are. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because of what He has done for us. So we can come into the house of God. The world around us is struggling. The world around us is at odds. The world around us is crumbling. But we can put on the spirit of joy, the spirit of praise. In this hour, in this day, in this time, if we listen to the messages that the world is giving to us, we will feel the spirit of heaviness. We'll wear the coat of the beggar. We'll wear the coat of the prisoner. We'll wear the coat of the broken man. But if we will listen to the word of the Lord, if we will seek the face of God, if we will receive the spirit of the living God, we can put on the garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness. Check your coat this morning. Hallelujah. If you're wearing the spirit of heaviness, bring it here and cast it down. Take it off and let Jesus Christ fill you once again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let Him pour out upon you His blessing for the very first time as you lift your voice and let Him speak through you in another tongue. Praise God. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for your life. He has called us to be trees of righteousness, to be the planting of the Lord. Why? So that He may be glorified. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I feel the Holy Ghost drawing someone to this altar. I feel the presence of God calling someone to worship. I feel God's word going forth in touching lives and opening understanding. In Jesus' name. If He's calling you, if He's drawing you, please step out. Come down and surrender. Take off the coat of heaviness. Take off the coat that someone else has fashioned for you. Take off the misconception and the preconceptions that you carry around and surrender it. And let Jesus Christ show you who He wants you to be. Let Him show you the things He has planned for you. Let Him accomplish His will in your life. Because He is able. He is able. He is able. Hallelujah. Check your coat today. Check your coat today. And put on the garment of praise. Put on the joy of the Lord in Jesus' name. choose not to come down to the front, please make it a point to reach out to God before you leave. Make it a point to let the Holy Ghost talk to your spirit, talk to your heart. Don't leave here without a word from the Lord. Don't leave here without surrendering your heart to Him. Let's lift our hands one more time. Praise God. Give the Lord one more opportunity to minister as you worship Him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is moving here. I hope you feel Him there at home. I know God is faithful because He's been faithful to me. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Remember, next Sunday is Holy Ghost Sunday. Pray that God will open a door for you to witness to someone, to invite someone. Pray that you have the courage to follow through on it when he does. And pray that we have hungry hearts and hungry souls. Come yourself seeking God's presence and seeking his face. Pray for Sister Vernon and Brother Vernon so that they can be anointed. We believe that God still fills people with the Holy Ghost. Amen? We believe that people still speak in other tongues when it happens. Amen. We believe that people still need to be baptized in Jesus' name to have their sins washed away. And all of that can happen for anyone who comes here on Sunday morning. Let's pray that way in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week. Want to share with you the places that we have reached online this morning. People from Wisconsin and Illinois, and Iowa. Amen. I want to say something, make a crack about Iowa, but I won't. All I'll say is that they that walk in darkness have seen a great light. So, Missouri and Texas, South Dakota and Tennessee. That's where the Rivas, brother and sister Rivas, are on the way back. John and Jessica, that was the last we heard. They were in Tennessee, so maybe that's where that is. But amen. The seed of the gospel is being broadcast, and we're a part of it in Jesus' name.